Hello, welcome to the reading of the Sioux City Journal for Tuesday, October 31st, Halloween. I'm Dagna, your reader today. Our first story today has the headline of Two Dead in Shooting Near Hornick. An investigation into a homicide and an officer-involved shooting at a farm near Hornick, Iowa, is continuing, Woodbury County Sheriff Chad Sheehan said during a Monday afternoon news conference at Sioux City's Law Enforcement Center. Shortly after 7:30 p.m. Sunday, a 911 caller, later identified as Todd C. Sulzberger, 72, told dispatchers that his son was shooting at him on his farm. Deputies responded to the area, setting up a perimeter at the farm, which was located on Old Highway 141. Investigators learned that the suspect, later identified as Walter M. Sulzberger, 44, was still on the scene in a white pickup truck. At 9:10 p.m., I contacted the suspect via phone, and he told me there would be no peaceful resolution and made threats toward law enforcement officers, Sheehan said. Sheehan said a Woodbury County Sheriff's Office crisis negotiator spoke to Walter Sulzberger through the night. At approximately 2:45 a.m., while the crisis negotiator was attempting to negotiate a peaceful surrender, the suspect fired multiple shots at tactical teams who were attempting to move it to take him into custody, Sheehan said. Being met with gunfire and in fear for their lives, law enforcement personnel returned fire, striking the suspect. Medical personnel were called in. Both Todd C. Sulzberger and Walter M. Sulzberger were pronounced dead at the scene. The Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation was immediately contacted to investigate both the officer-involved shooting and the homicide. The law enforcement personnel who shot Walter M. Sulzberger has been placed under administrative leave, Sheehan said, and no first responder was injured in the incident that lasted more than 7 hours. The Woodbury County Sheriff's Office requested assistance from the Sioux City Police Department, Iowa State Patrol, and the Tri-County CERT team, who all sent their respective armored vehicles and tactical personnel. Additionally, the Iowa State Patrol provided air support. We'll now move to an story about the upcoming school board election for Sioux City. 5 of the 7 seats on the Sioux City School Board will be on the ballot Tuesday. 9 candidates are running for 4 seats carrying 4-year terms. The top 4 vote-getters will secure those seats, which are currently held by Dan Greenwell, Taylor Goodvin, Monique Scarlett, Bernie Scolaro. Scolaro, Goodvin, and Scarlett opted not to run for re-election. Greenwell filed for the seat vacated earlier this year by Perla Alicorn Flory after she moved to Arkansas with her family. Greenwell and Semahar Gebrekaden are competing head-to-head for the seat, which has 2 years remaining. The school board appointed Phil Hammond to temporarily fill Alicorn Flory's seat. Hammond is seeking one of the full 4-year terms on Tuesday. Candidates had the option of running for a 4-year term or the seat with the unexpired term. They could not simultaneously run for both. The journal asked each candidate a series of questions. Due to space limitations, not all the questions were included in the journal's print edition today. To view all of the questions and answers, please visit SiouxCityJournal.com. To view biographical information about the candidates and their answers to the questions, go to pages A6 and A7 in today's paper. The candidates are listed in the order they will appear on the ballot. So now we're going to go through this for the different candidates. Dan Greenwell, this is for the 2-year term candidates. First one is Dan Greenwell. He is currently serving his first term on the school board and has been president of the board for the past 2 years. He is 61 years old and is a small business owner. His education is a BS in accounting from 1985. His hometown is in Shelbina, Missouri, and his family is Gina, who has been his wife for 33 years, and children Dr. Olivia Greenwell, Quentin Greenwell, Liam Greenwell, and Colin Greenwell. And the first question, why are you running for school board? And Mr. Greenwell says, I am passionately dedicated to public education and believe in lifting all students to higher academic Education is the ticket to personal growth and betterment for citizens in our community. My practical experience as a former CPA and current small business owner brings real operational skills, improvement ideas, and meaningful leadership perspectives. I continually review practices and policies and focus on making positive improvements. I also ask tough questions. I want to help make the board more effective and continue to enhance the focus on the classrooms and staff. I also believe we should spend taxpayer funds as if they were our own. All four of my children graduated from the Sioux City Community Schools and received an excellent education. Serving our community on the school board is a strong way of giving back and providing value to our community. And the second question, what are the main points you hope to address? And again, this is Mr. Greenwell. There are four main points which I believe are critical for continued success. Number one, recruitment and retention of staff. This is the most significant challenge for future years. We have done an excellent job of recruiting and retaining staff when you compare our district with others around the state and country. Our ability to recruit is excellent. We have had the best fill rate for teaching positions this year as compared to the past 5 years. Number two, we are in the process of rebuilding our special education system. We believe that by better identifying the level of service needed for each student is far better than the one-size-fits-all from the past. Number three, approximately 20% of our students are English language learners. These students need enhanced language and other services to better equip them in a new environment. And number four, continued strong financial management and reasonable property tax levy rates. Now, our other candidate for the two-year position is Semahar Gebrekadin, and she is 29 years old, and she's currently the City of Sioux City's Community Inclusion Liaison. Her education, she says, I have a bachelor's degree in global studies with minors in Spanish and leadership and nonprofit management. I also hold a master's degree in sociology with a thesis topic focused on acculturation and belonging. Both of these degrees were obtained from South Dakota State University. And her hometown is Sioux Falls. And her family is, she's married to Logan and has a cute puppy named Duke. And now the question to her is, why are you running for school board? I am thrilled to present my school board platform in Sioux City, embodying my core values and unwavering dedication to this vital role. My focus lies in launching an equitable education initiative, bridging achievement gaps, and providing robust support for English as a second language, ensuring every child thrives regardless of their background. I am a staunch advocate for enhancing special education and ESL programs, believing every student deserves a chance to reach their full potential. Inclusivity is pivotal. My diverse background drives my passion for fostering sense of belonging, promoting diversity, inclusivity, and tolerance. Recognizing educators' importance, I'll ensure fair compensation and resources, including ESL instruction support. Rooted in a history of public service, my commitment to equitable education, particularly for ESL learners, drives my advocacy. These principles emphasize transparency, accountability, and efficient resource allocation, benefiting every student and ensuring a brighter, more equitable future. And then the next point, question is, what are the main points you hope to address? I'm passionate about launching an equitable education initiative, closing achievement gaps, and ensuring every child thrives. Special education and English language learning programs will receive increased funding and support, empowering every student. Fostering inclusivity. I'll promote diversity and belonging for all students. Our faculty and staff will have a supportive environment with fair compensation and resources. My dedication to public service means advocating for equitable education. Transparency and accountability will be prioritized, making our schools efficient and fair. Engaging parents in the community is crucial. I will involve stakeholders in policymaking. With your support, I'm committed to positive change, providing the opportunities our students deserve for a brighter future. Now we'll move to the four-year candidates, and we'll begin with Trayla Lee, who's currently, it says her profession is Four Oaks, Wendy Wonderful Recruiter, and Program Director of First Tee Siouxland. Her education is she's currently a doctoral student at Iowa State University. Her hometown is Sioux City, and her family is a legacy of Rudy and Flora Lee. And the first question, why are you running for school board? I am running for school board to focus on recruiting and retaining teachers, supporting the Career Academy, focusing on basic education, helping review and deliver special education programs that meet the needs for all students while keeping all students safe. Most of all, I will listen and learn while collaborating and independently voice my views and opinions. And the next question, what are the main points you hope to address? I hope to address recruiting and retaining teachers, supporting the Career Academy, focusing on basic education, helping review special education programs that meet the needs of all students while keeping all students safe. And then our next four-year candidate is Earl Miller, who is 58 years old. He is a small business owner and a management consultant. His education is from the public schools, magna cum laude BS in business management, master's certification information technology from Augsburg College, and master's certification in project management from George Washington University. His hometown is Mayville, Portland, North Dakota. His significant other, his family is a significant under Greg Gregerson and two adopted children, immigrants with English being their second language, and one of Hispanic descent, young adults that both graduated from Sioux City North High School. Why are you running for school board? I believe that a dynamic, successful school system is a key defining attribute of a community. Sioux City has a long reputation for its quality school system program, producing successful students. Like many communities, our school system is facing challenges of funding, quality teacher retention, and a changing demographic and student body makeup. My 35 years of experience in strategic business analysis, project management, and business process implementation, experience and skills will all be an asset to our school system as we navigate these new challenges which face us now and in the future. As a Sioux City resident, parent of two sons that hit many of the demographics our school system is struggling with, whether it was special needs, Hispanic descent with brown skin, LGBTQ, or English as their second language, I know firsthand what many of the parents, students, and educators go through having experienced Sioux City schools firsthand. Students are struggling to get the help they need. Our teachers and administrators don't have the tools they need to help the students, and our community suffers when we focus on relitigating the past and not focus on the future. And again, this is Earl Miller. What are the main points you hope to address? The Sioux City Community School District Board should focus on listening to the concerns of our current quality educators, identify the challenges that are facing our school system, and collaborate creatively to find solutions. Do our students and teachers have the resources they need? Do they have a positive environment in and out of the classroom? Do we have equitable learning environments across all our schools? We need to make it a point to find the root cause of current needs so we can address them together for future success. When the learning environment is not positive and conducive to academic achievement, students are at risk in all areas of future success. Teacher retention is the second big bucket of work. I have already mentioned the sign-on bonus structure, but there is more to consider. We need to conduct a deep study listening to the teachers who have resigned and why. Is it more than just teacher compensation? Is it the environment as well? Are rates of diabetes, heart disease, and self-medicating with alcohol on the rise? We need to focus on all aspects of the teacher's experience, including a serious look at teacher health and wellness. Then our next candidate for the four-year term is Tricia Rivers, and she is 34 years old, and her profession is Siouxland Project Director for Great Plains Action Society, Native Representative for Sioux City's Inclusive Committee. Her education is she graduated from North High School and UNI in 2019 with my BA in psychology and a minor in mental health. Her hometown is Waterloo, Iowa. And her family is, I have four beautiful children and lots of nieces and nephews. The first question, why are you running for school board? I am running because our students deserve the best education while living and growing up in Sioux City. Our state leadership has recently passed some extremely harmful bills that are clearly targeting protected groups and also taking away from the overall public education system. I have a lot of lived experience that cannot be simply gained from books and provide an invaluable perspective for fresh and new ideas. And then what are the main points that you hope to address? And again, this is Tricia Rivers. The main points I would love to address is funding, teacher retention and recruitment, and lobbying at the state and federal level. I would also love to tap into our parents and caregivers, students and community members to see how we can also support our overall school district. We're all in this together. And then our next four-year candidate is Dustin Rhodes. And he is 34 years old. His profession is he's a local business owner, Ability Tech and Ability Tech Foundation. His education is a BA in criminal justice, computer engineering, forensic, with emphasis in criminal law. And his hometown is Plankinton, South Dakota. His family is wife Shannon, two boys, Caden, 16, and Landon, 13, two girls, Tynley, 8, and Emmeline, 7, and one due in November. And first question, why are you running for school board? As a parent and community member, I'm running for the school board because I believe in the power of education and its ability to shape the future. I want to ensure that our district continues to provide high-quality education that prepares our children for the challenges of tomorrow. I'm deeply committed that every individual, including those with disabilities, should have access to the best possible education. And what are the main points you hope to address? And again, this is Dustin Rhodes. The main points I hope to address include improving education equity, ensuring adequate support for students with disabilities, and fostering stronger connections between the school and the parents. These are critical to our mission of adapting to the diverse needs of our students. Our next candidate is Phil Hammond. Hammond currently serves as a school board member. He was selected in July to fill Perla Alicorn Flory's seat until the election. He is now seeking a full-term seat on the board. He is 65 years old. His profession is a retired teacher after 37 years with the Sioux City Community School District. His education is degrees in special education, behavior disorder, physical education, adaptive physical education, health, and certification in coaching. His hometown is Sioux Falls, and he says he has lived in Sioux City since 1986. His family is his wife, Sandy, who has taught in the Sioux City School District since 1994, and he has two children who are both teachers, a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law, and four grandchildren. Why are you running for school board? I come with a tremendous amount of educational experience. I recently retired after 40 years as a high school teacher, and during this time, I was a special education teacher and co-taught 10th grade English. I have a degree in behavior disabilities, so over the years, I developed many behavior management plans. I was also involved in curriculum development, peer helping programs, multicultural groups, and work closely with English language learners, or ELL. We need to keep doing what is working to increase reading and math scores. Yet I believe there are vital changes to be made to help our special education and ELL learners meet their individual needs in a way that maximizes learning. And again, this is Phil Hammond. What are the main points you hope to address? Leading the list would be the recruitment and retention of staff, which again goes back to making sure that student behaviors are managed in a way that allows for the learning process to be delivered without interruption. Raising test scores with the help of new curriculum we are looking at is another vital factor. We also need a better delivery system for our special education and ELL students. For example, during my 40 years as a teacher, there was previously a wider range of educational options for special education students. Over the last decade, the options narrowed for middle and high school students. The plan of using the full inclusion model for most secondary students does not necessarily meet their individual needs. ELL students need a leveling system to meet their needs as well. Another focus is to continue to increase opportunities at the Career Academy, since the purpose of a school system is to prepare students for their future careers. Finally, keeping an eye on the budget is important. We need to be financially sound while also spending money in areas that are priorities. And then the next candidate is John Myers, who is 74 years old. His profession is a retired City of Sioux City Finance and Budget Director. His hometown, he was born in Dubuque and has lived in Sioux City since 1977. And his family has 2 adult children and 4 grandchildren. And the first question for John Myers is, why are you running for school board? I am running for the school board for several reasons. One reason is to provide stability for the board. With 5 of the 7 board seats on the ballot, the district could have 4 or 5 first-year board members. The board environment is complex. Newly elected officials can take a while to become fully knowledgeable of the environment and the factor that should be taken into account in making decisions. I have 8 years of school board experience, and 3 of those years I served as vice president of the board. This experience will be useful in applying the temperament and knowledge necessary to make good decisions. And then, what are the main points you hope to address? And again, this is John Myers. One of the areas I want to address is student achievement. In the area of student achievement, I am concerned about weaknesses in math, science, English, and reading. These subjects are basic to education. Test scores in these areas have declined since before COVID. Strengthening the curriculum of these areas is very important. A second area I want to address is the budget. With the ending of COVID grants and the implementation of state education vouchers, the budget is likely to be strained. One way to address the strain is to become more energy efficient. The district has several buildings with older heating and cooling systems. Replacing the older systems with modern, energy-efficient systems will reduce energy usage and costs. The heating and cooling systems of the older schools need to be replaced. Replacing them with energy-efficient units may well be a smart way to proceed. The next candidate is Margo Cortez, and this is for the 4-year term. Her profession is an educator at Umaha Nation Public School in Macy, Nebraska. Her education is in 2004 an AA in Early Childhood Education, Nebraska Indian Community College. 2008 was a BS Pre-K Unified Wayne State College. 2010 Master's Curriculum in Instruction at Wayne State College. And Master's Education Administrator, University of Nebraska at Lincoln, graduation of May of 2024. And hometown is Sioux City. Her parents are Anthony and Sheila Morris. She has 6 siblings. Her husband is Rafael Cortez, 3 children, and 1 granddaughter. And why are you running for school board? I was born and raised on the west side of Sioux City, but like other kids, it was rare to see someone who resembled us among the teachers. Being a student of poverty, my family tended to move a lot, which led me to attend 3 elementary schools, 2 middle schools, and then 2 high schools. The story that led me into education isn't your typical inspirational story, but more of a statement. But along the way, I found a love of teaching to our future generations. I became an advocate for students who struggled to find their way while in school, similar to what I endured as a student. This type of work as an educator has brought me to where I am today, running for the school board. I am an advocate for students who deserve the best education possible. I have an insight as to what teachers face daily, and I see a lot of great teachers leaving the profession. I want to do what is possible to keep our great teachers here in Sioux City. And what are the main points you hope to address? And again, this is Margo Cortez. I hope to address teacher retention. I believe the best way to recruit new teachers is to treat the current staff with the respect they deserve. Our teachers need to be supported both financially and in the classroom by having the best resources to make them feel successful. Once this occurs, teachers won't be hard to find. They will find us. School safety is another aspect I would like to address for our district. I've spoken to parents and they are genuinely worried about the safety of some of our schools. I'm also an advocate for our students with special needs. We need to make sure our students with special needs are receiving the resources that they require. Lastly, we need to have a strong fiscal budget. Although there are other issues I want to address, these are my main points: teacher retention, school safety, advocating for our students with special needs, and a strong fiscal budget. And our next candidate is Lance Emke. He is 73. His profession is he's retired, but previously was an attorney in the Heidman Law Firm for 40 plus years. His education is from Iowa State University, J.D. from Drake University Law School. His military is U.S. Navy, active duty 5 years, reserve duty 25 years. His hometown is Cleghorn, Iowa. His family, he's married, wife Kathy, and 4 adult children. Why are you running for school board? As a parent of 4 adult children who are successful graduates of our public schools, my motivation to run is to ensure that every child has access to a strong educational foundation, especially in reading comprehension, math, and music. Music is so mathematical, it is a catalyst to developing math skills. In addition, sustained support for our career academy is a primary focus of mine. Whether it's home building or auto mechanics, nursing, or med tech training, firefighting, and getting your EMT certification, teaching culinary arts, fashion design, Air Force JROTC, robotics, or STEM engineering, our Career Academy has become our gateway for students with varied interests to see many ways they can fit into our community productivity after graduation. Our Career Academy is an essential function of our school system and needs consistent, reliable support. And then what are the main points you hope to address? And this, again, is Lance Emke. We want optimal student achievement. Historically, we have had the experienced and talented teachers and staff to get that done. To succeed today, we must rebuild our school environment, both in reality and perception, to make Sioux City schools an attractive career employment choice for our teachers and staff. Working with parents and others in our community, we need to rekindle regular school attendance, school-wide student energy to learn, and respect for teachers in their classrooms. Clear behavior expectations with enforced rules and unquestioned administration backup support for our teachers faced with disruptions in their classrooms are essential. And as a school board members in our meetings and otherwise, we must model the behavior we expect from our students. And then this is the last candidate, Jebediah Hibbs. He's 47. His profession is a part-time manager for a local John Deere construction dealer. His education is high school graduate with some college schooling to become a certified aircraft mechanic. His hometown is Elkhart, Indiana. He is married to Aubrey for over 24 years. They have three children. Why are you running for school board? I'm running for the school board to ensure the students of our district are given the best education and opportunities to succeed in this ever-changing world. I am also committed to making sure our teachers and our staff are given the support they need to assist our students in getting the education and opportunities they deserve. And what are the main points you hope to address? And this is Jebediah Hibbs. I plan to address the staff shortage issue. This has become a growing problem. I also want to work on the image of the district. We are not portrayed very well to anyone. I want to work with the other board members to promote a positive culture of leadership that shows we can be civil and still have different views. And so that completes the a little bit of the interviews with each of the candidates for the school board. The election is next Tuesday, November 7th. It said the journal asked each candidate a series of questions. Due to space limitations, not all the questions were included in the print edition, which I just went through. To view all of the questions and the answers, you can go to SiouxCityJournal.com. You are listening to the reading of the Sioux City Journal for Tuesday, October 31st on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. We'll now turn to today's obituaries, beginning with Daniel Ekrit, passed away in his home on Thursday, October 26th, surrounded by his family, and his last name is spelled E-A-C-R-E-T. Services will be held at 2 p.m. on Friday, November 3rd at Waterbury Funeral Service in Sioux City at 4125 Orleans Avenue. Dan was born on October 22nd, 1940 to Frank and Grace Ekrit in Storm Lake, Iowa. He graduated from Sioux City Central High School in 1959. Dan loved cars, learning mechanic skills growing up. In high school, he began learning auto upholstery. Dan joined the United States Navy on June 13, 1959. He served 2 tours with the elite Navy Seabees in Operation Deep Freeze in Antarctica. This adventure allowed him to walk around the world at Pole Station in the South Pole. Dan loved sharing stories of the places he got to visit, including New Zealand, Hawaii, and Canton Island, to name a few. There was nowhere to spend money in Antarctica, allowing Dan to come home with the cash to buy a 1962 Corvette. It started a long line of cool cars, all souped up, dressed up, and leaving others envious. Dan returned home to Iowa in 1962, driving his blue Cadillac home from Rhode Island. He has always loved seeing the world through a windshield. He remained in the U.S. Navy Reserve until 1964. His first son, John, was born December 28, 1965. In the 1970s, Vans by Dan was created, building custom passenger vans before they were available in the retail market. Dan joined the Masonic Lodge and Scottish Rite. He also became a Shriner to help children. He spent over four decades in makeup as a shrine clown, proudly serving as president of the Abu Becker Shrine Clown Unit. Daniel's second son, Timothy, was born December 26, 1977. He began teaching Tim the upholstery business just 2 years later by attaching a shop broom to Tim's pedal tractor. In 1983, they relocated to Colorado Springs. He spent several years working to build a upholstery shop for a large car dealership. As Tim grew, he went to work with Dan at the dealership. Eventually, Dan's reputation was well known along the entire Front Range of Colorado. They decided to venture out on their own, building trophy-winning show cars year after year. His work has been featured in auto magazines, calendars, diecasts, etc. Returning to Delmars, Iowa in 2009, Daniel achieved his lifelong dream of owning a gas station when he purchased the second oldest gas station in Iowa. Dan and his youngest son, Tim, built an incredible upholstery shop in that garage. They enjoyed 12 years of success in that location, all while working together every day. In 2020, their business model transitioned over to working on semi-trucks only. Dan loved the work he was doing and passing it on to his son. There was nothing that made him happier than sitting in front of his sewing machine. Dan was so proud of his work at Easy Pete Interiors, he was able to make it to his first truck show in July 2023 in Oakland, Nebraska. It was the highlight of his year, seeing some of his work on display. His pride was plastered across his face in the form of a smile. Mary Ann Ortner, the daughter of Henry Sr. and Ida Hammond, was born on November 24, 1927, on the farm near Mapleton. Mary Ann received her education from St. Mary's Catholic School in Mapleton. On her 20th birthday, November 24, 1947, Mary Ann married her true love, Arnold John Ortner, at the St. Mary's Catholic Church of Mapleton. The couple shared nearly 59 years together before Arnold's passing on August 3, 2006. Blessed with three children, Dee Dee, Den, and Bill, Mary Ann was a devoted mother, wife, and homemaker. She enjoyed raising her family, tending to her garden and home, while providing delicious home-cooked meals. An avid baker, Mary Ann is well known for her delectable homemade pies and chocolate angel food cake. In 1980, Mary Ann and Arnold moved to the town of Danbury, where she took pleasure in tending to her house and lawn. A devoted Catholic and faithful member of the St. Mary's Catholic Church, Mary Ann was active in Rosary Society. The most important things in Mary Ann's life were her faith and her family, which she cherished dearly. Mary Ann called Willowdale Wellness Village home for the last 9 years, where she received excellent care and made many friends. A Mass of Christian Burial will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, November 3rd, at the St. Mary's Catholic Church of Danbury. Father William McCarthy will officiate. Committal services will follow in the Danbury Catholic Cemetery of Danbury. A visitation will be held from 6 to 8 p.m. with a vigil service at 7 p.m. with rosary to follow on Thursday, November 2nd at the St. Mary's Catholic Church of Danbury. Michael T. Bryan, 71, of Onawa, passed away Saturday, October 28th at Mercy One Siouxland Medical Center, Sioux City, surrounded by family. A memorial service will be 11 a.m. Friday, November 3rd, at the Gosler Funeral Home Chapel in Onawa, with Jeff Thielander officiant. The family requests all those attending to wear your favorite sports team attire. Burial will follow in the Graceland Cemetery, Blanco, Iowa. Visitation with family present will be 1 hour prior to the service. Arrangements are under the direction of Gosler Funeral Home and Monuments in Onawa. Barbara Jean Thomas, 85, of South Sioux City, passed away on Wednesday, October 25th. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. Wednesday, November 1st at Nelson Berger Northside Chapel. Interment will be at a later date. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to services on Wednesday at the funeral home. Reverend Ernest Marvin Kaltfeldt, or Pastor Ernie, age 90, formerly of Sioux City, passed away in his sleep October 9th in Minneapolis. He was born in rural Story County, Iowa, to Martin and Bernice Kaltfeldt. He attended Waldorf College, Iowa State, and Luther Seminary. He married Eloise Kylander in 1962. During his career as an ELCA Lutheran pastor, he served in Hong Kong, Taiwan, North Home, Minnesota, Washington, Iowa, and Sioux City, where he served 1 year as chaplain at St. Luke Hospital and 11 years at Emmanuel Lutheran, now United. In retirement, he served several churches as interim pastor and at Calvary Episcopal and taught ELL at Western Iowa Tech Community College. He moved to Ames to care for his mother until her death. For several years, he was a very active member of 7500 York Cooperative in Edina, Minnesota. Funeral service was at Christ Church Lutheran in Minneapolis on October 20th. Memorial service at United Lutheran Church. It will be on Friday, November 3rd at 11 a.m. with visitation beginning at 10 a.m. Interment at Graceland Park Cemetery at 1 p.m. Memorials are requested to Siouxland Habitat for Humanity. Bobby Lynn Collins, 67, of Sioux City, passed away October 25th at Mercy One Hospital. Bobby is the daughter of Betty Miller Norby and Robert Burrell, both of Sioux City. Bobby graduated from West High School in 1975. She moved to a few different cities, but always returned home to Sioux City. Throughout her life, she had many jobs, and most of which were centered around helping others. She worked for Siouxland Regional Transit System and the Center for Siouxland, where she met many friends. All of the people she helped loved her. Bobby loved to play bingo and to dance, and she spent many Fridays dancing at the Senior Center. She enjoyed the line dancing as well as ballroom dancing. She loved her family more than anything, especially her daughter and granddaughters. She will be missed by many. The family will greet friends starting at 1 p.m. on Sunday, November 5th, with a celebration of life service at 2 p.m. at Meyer Brothers Morningside Chapel at 6200 Morningside Avenue in Sioux City. Nancy L. Brendan, 93, of Whiting, passed away Friday, October 27th at Pleasant View Assisted Living in Whiting. A funeral service will be 11 a.m. Wednesday, November 1st at the Whiting Christian Church, with Reverend Richard Moore and Pastor Jed Shermer officiating. A live stream of the service will be posted on the Gosler Funeral Home website with Nancy's obituary. Burial will follow in the Harrison Cemetery. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the service at the church. Arrangements are under the direction of Gosler Funeral Home and Monuments in Ottawa. Gerald Dean Jerry Beacom, 85, of South Sioux City, passed away Thursday, October 26. A funeral mass will be 10:30 a.m. Saturday, November 18th at Sacred Heart Catholic Church. Father Gary Rush will officiate. Visitation will be Friday, November 18th from 5 to 7 p.m. with a rosary at 4:30 and a vigil service at 7 p.m. at Meyer Brothers Colonial Chapel. Private family burial will be at St. Michael Cemetery. Jerry was born the son of Paul and Kathleen Beacom on February 27, 1938, in Sioux City. He graduated from Helan High School in 1956 and attended Regis College in Denver, Creighton University, and the University of Nebraska. Jerry married Carol Ann Johnson on November 21, 1961, and to this union, 6 children were born. Jerry was postmaster in South Sioux City during the Kennedy administration and then worked at the post offices of Boys Town and Sioux City before opening the Beacom Insurance Agency in South Sioux City, which he owned and operated for 40 years. Jerry was always on the go and always had a side hustle. He had several rental properties that he enjoyed tinkering on, even in his old age. He also built houses with Mike Gill and Dick Sokolowski. for many years. He was proud of the hard work that he did to provide for his large family and help pay for his children's education. Jerry enjoys spending time with his family and watching Notre Dame football. Bishop Heelan held a very special place in his heart. He was a huge supporter of Catholic education and Heelan athletics. He was a member of the Knights of Columbus and the Siouxland Notre Dame Club. He was lovingly called the Jer by all who knew him. In lieu of flowers, memorials can be made to the Knights Foundation, which supports Heelan student tuition to Bishop Heelan High School. Jerry would appreciate finding a way to come up with a few nickels for Heelan. Lucille L. Haas, 88, of rural Paulina, passed away peacefully Friday morning, October 27th, in the Heartland Care Center at Marcus, surrounded by her son and her niece, Mary. Funeral services will be held on Tuesday, October 31st, at 2 p.m. at Oakdale Evangelical Free Church in Meridian, Iowa. Pastor Andy Brown will officiate. Burial will be in the Liberty Township Cemetery at rural Meridian. Visitation will be held on Monday, October 30th, from 3 to 7 p.m., with the family present from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Boothie Funeral Home in Cherokee. Services will be live-streamed on the Oakdale Evangelical Free Church website. Franklin Joseph Henrick, 89, of Sioux City, passed away on Thursday, October 26th, at Holy Spirit Retirement Home. A Mass of Christian Burial will be at 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, October 31st, at Holy Cross Parish, Blessed Sacrament in Sioux City. Burial will follow at St. Mary's Cemetery at Alton, Iowa. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the Mass on Tuesday at the church. Meyer Brothers Colonial Chapel is assisting with arrangements. Franklin Joseph, son of Wilfred and Florence Henrick, was born January 30, 1934, in Alton. In 1944, Frank's family moved to Sioux City when his father started working as a carpenter for Curtis Sash. Frank attended St. Boniface Grade School, West Junior, and graduated from Central High School. Following high school, he enlisted in the United States Air Force and served from 1952 until his honorable discharge in 1956 as an airman first class. He continued his military service by serving in the United States Air Force Reserve for 4 more years. For 22 years, Frank worked as a police officer in Sioux City. In addition, Frank and his brother Willie operated Henrick Sharpening, until they sold the business in 2004. Frank was a member of St. Boniface Catholic Church in earlier years and was a member of Holy Cross Parish Blessed Sacrament Church. He was very active in his church and took great pride in opening the church up each day for daily Mass. He enjoyed camping, reading, motorcycle riding, fishing, and visiting with friends. He loved woodworking and made many pieces of furniture for family and friends. Neil Harry Porsche, 82, of Sioux City, passed away October 24th at a local hospital. A graveside service will be held at a later date at Memorial Park Cemetery. Waterbury Funeral Service of Sioux City is handling arrangements. Neil was born on April 8, 1941, in Plymouth County, Iowa, to Harry and Loretta Porsche. He graduated from Westfield High School. He began working for Armor Packing and then moved to Donelson, Iowa, to continue working for them. He moved back to Sioux City 18 years ago. He was united in marriage to Janice Weber. They later divorced. He enjoyed fishing, watching the rodeo and NASCAR, and the holidays and family dinners. That concludes the obituaries for today. We'll move back to some more of the news stories. Storm Lake man pleads not guilty of theft. A former Storm Lake Volunteer Firefighters Association officer has pleaded not guilty to stealing thousands of dollars from the organization. Jesus Rojo, 28, of Storm Lake, entered his written plea Thursday in Buena Vista County District Court to 2 counts of first-degree theft. His trial is scheduled for January 9th. Rojo, who served as Secretary Treasurer of the Firefighters Association from January 3rd through July 6th, is charged with taking more than $10,000 in association funds and using the money for his personal use. He was arrested in September. Lawrence man pleads not guilty of attempted murder. A Lawrence, Iowa man has pleaded not guilty of stabbing another man with a hunting knife. Oscar Ortez, 31, entered his written plea Friday in Buena Vista County District Court to charges of attempted murder, willful injury resulting in serious injury, going armed with intent, and assault while participating in a felony. According to court documents, Ortez stabbed the victim 5 times, 4 in the back and once in the front, with a large head hunting knife at the home in the 1600 block of Loken Drive in Storm Lake on September 18th and took his cell phone. The victim sustained serious internal and external injuries. And that concludes the obituaries. We'll now move to Tuesday. A regular column is called Five Questions With, and this time it's GPAC Commissioner Corey Westra. Corey Westra has served as Commissioner of the Great Plains Athletic Conference, or GPAC, since April 2003. Westra previously worked in the Sports Information Office at Dort University, where he graduated with a BA in Communication in 1997. During his tenure with the GPAC, the 12-member league has become one of the nation's top conferences, winning 37 National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics national championships. He has held numerous leadership roles in the NAIA and also serves as co-tournament director for the NAIA Women's Volleyball and NAIA Women's Basketball national championships in Sioux City. He and his wife, Anne, live in Sioux City and have three children. The Journal talked to him last week prior to the full slate of weekend GPAC contests, including a football showdown between number one Northwestern and number three Morningside. First question, what is a typical week like for you as GPAC commissioner during fall sports seasons? And his answer, I don't think that there's ever a typical week in this line of work. You have certain things that happen during the week that are consistent, but you certainly have the element of inconsistency as well. My week does consist of a lot of tracking of information around the league, making sure that games are being played as they're supposed to be played, checking in with my officials, coordinators, putting out fires when you have a cancellation. I don't assign officials, but I have oversight over my assigners. As you get into the middle of the fall, you're really gearing up for our fall meeting, which we had a couple of weeks ago at Hastings. So that takes a big part of your time in the middle of the fall. I also go to Kansas City every fall for our National Center meeting, which is the first weekend in October. So that takes me out about 3 to 4 days as well. Then you get to the time of year and you're really uber focused on playoffs and tiebreakers and pairings for the tournaments and all that. I've been doing a lot of communication about game times this week and who might be playing who. You also certainly have to get trophies to the right place. The other part of my job is that I'm in now, but I'm also 2 to 3 years out on almost everything that I do. I'm spending a lot of time this particular fall working on advanced schedules in the league, especially with adding Waldorf College as a member coming up next year. Next question. Morningside and Northwestern have combined to win 4 of the last 6 NAIA championships in football. What's led to their success on a national level? I think first and foremost, you have kids that stay home and want to play. These are local kids that want to play for the maroon and white of Morningside or the red and white of Northwestern. That's really special. They want to play in the GPAC. This is their Big Ten. This is their SEC. They want to play here at this level and thrive. Secondly, I think you have consistency in the coaching staffs. Steve Ryan and Matt McCarty's staffs have been pretty consistent over the years, so that really builds a base of recruiting and kind of reloading every year and so on and so forth. I think once you kind of hit that peak, you've got an expectation around your programs. It isn't what you've graduated, it's what are we going to come back with. So I think both those programs are enjoying tremendous success on the backs of past success, but also on the tradition of their program. Drawing kids into that program, they've made that a destination. Next question. How did you become the co-tournament directors for the NAIA Women's Volleyball and Basketball tournaments in Sioux City? My involvement with the NAIA National Tournaments in Sioux City actually goes back to Lewis and Clark Park when we hosted the NAIA World Series in Sioux City. I was up north at the time, and Jerry at Briarcliff called me to do public address announcing. I met a lot of people at that time doing public address for the Baseball World Series. That led to women's basketball coming here and getting a call to PA for basketball. In those early years of the late 1990s, I was strictly a PA announcer. I would come in and do a host of games. One thing led to another, and obviously I found a wife through that. Anne was working for the city, and we got married, and I moved to Sioux City. And I remember one year, I believe it was Denny Gann, who came to me in basketball and said, well, gosh, you're around here anyway. You might as well run our game operation side and schedule people. And I said, yeah, I can do that. And then as time went on, he said, you know, you're really around a lot. You should be the tournament director. That was around 2007 for basketball. Then Mike has come on board with me most recently. That led to me being the lead contact for volleyball, and that came here in 2008. So I've always worn that volleyball hat, and then over a series of years took over the basketball hat. I've been involved ever since and love every minute of it. I think it's a highlight for the city. I think it's a highlight for the NAIA. I think we really put on a first-class event, and I love the people that I've met through it. These are my lifelong friends, whether they're coming in from out of town or the ones that volunteer and work every year at the tournament. I'm looking forward to volleyball here in a couple of weeks. And the next question, do you have a favorite sport? I grew up playing basketball, and I've always had a love for basketball, but I really took on a love for volleyball when I was at Dort full-time. Dort was very fortunate to have a very good team back then. That's the one sport I've actually coached. I was an assistant coach at Briarcliff for 1 year back in 2001. I've been blessed to have two girls that love the sport of volleyball. I'm also a certified track and field starter for the state of Iowa, so I do a lot of track and field meets and cross-country meets as well. I love track and field. I was horrible in track and field. The one time I ran a 200, I told my coach, I'll be at golf on Monday. I love track and field and officiating and starting it. One learned in this industry is you've got to know all the sports, and I've really enjoyed getting to know wrestling, tennis, baseball, softball. I never played football growing up. My school didn't have it, but now I'm in a league with the national champions of the NAIA, and I've learned a lot about football. I do like them all, and I do appreciate them all. And then the last question, how do you spend your time while GPAC sports are idle in the summer months? I wish I had a nickel for every time I've been asked that question. People say, your summers must be really boring. My summers are not boring at all. By the time we wrap up in the spring, it's almost Memorial Day, if we're fortunate enough to have teams playing in the World Series for softball and baseball. And we usually send a lot of kids to the national track meet. So really, for all practical purposes, we're not off the fields until June 1st. And June is a busy time for NAIA with meetings. I always try to maintain a little time off in July. We almost always take our family vacation in July and try to kind of just check out for a few weeks there, but you never fully gone. By late July and August comes around, you're right back into it. So there's always things to do in the off season, schedule meetings, rule changes. There's never a downtime. There's just a little bit of a reprieve in the summer, but maybe not quite as tedious, but it's always there. And that concludes the five questions with GPAC Commissioner Corey Restra. Well, now I have time to do a letter for Dear Abby. And the letter, Dear Abby, I have been having a hard time dealing with my family. We have never been close. My mother played favorites and never showed me any affection. My siblings followed suit, and I always felt like an outsider. My father was wonderful and loved me very much, for which I am very forever grateful. Both my parents died last year. I was walking on eggshells the entire time. My brothers and sisters seemed to think that I was now a member of the family. They included me in events and told me they loved me. I was so hopeful. After my mother's death, I was cut out of the family again. I'm no longer invited to family celebrations or holidays. I am heartbroken and lonely. I have no one left. Family isn't so important to me. I am embarrassed to admit I am now estranged from everyone. Can you help? Signed, Black Sheep in Kentucky. And the Abby's response, unfortunately, your experience is not unique. I hear it more and more in one variation or another. It is now time for you to build a family of your own, comprised of friendships with people you can trust. Many people do this, and when they do, find themselves happier and more rewarded than they felt with their relatives. As you do this, do not look back. Begin not by asking for friendship, but by being honest and befriending others. Look around, and you will see them everywhere. There's no shame in reaching out, so please do not feel embarrassed about being a member of a very large club. And then, Dear Abby, I am a realtor and managing broker, helping my fiancé's son, Mark, buy a new home. We're set to close next month. Tonight, my fiancé, Simon, told me I am not to keep any of my commission, that Mark expects me to give it all to him. Granted, I was planning to give Mark a token of appreciation, a few hundred dollars perhaps, but not my entire commission. I told Simon he must have misunderstood that this is my job. No one gives someone their entire paycheck, do they? I don't think there's any way Mark would expect 100% of my commission, but Simon says if I don't agree, there will be consequences. Our relationship is already strained, and I feel this is not only over the top, but also completely disrespectful. I'm trying not to rock the boat with the holidays coming up. Please help me. Signed, On the Spot in Illinois. And Abby's response. Sometimes it's better to confront a problem than to ignore it for fear of what you might find out. This is one of those times. Tell your fiancé to explain exactly what he meant by consequences if you don't agree to his son's unreasonable demand. Listen carefully to what he has to say. If you give in to emotional blackmail this time, it's only a taste of what you will receive from him and his son in the future. If there is any wedding planned anytime soon, I urge you to slam on the brakes until this matter is ironed out to your satisfaction. And that does it for today's reading of the Sioux City Journal for Tuesday, October 31st. I'm Dagna, your reader. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. And thank you for listening.